All right, let's desire your prayers. I have something heavy on my heart, and we're going to need the Lord to, of course, help us to deliver it. Let's go to Revelations. And about the third chapter and about the 15th verse, 3 and 15. This is a starting place. This is not my burden, but this is where I want to start and ask you a question. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the faithful, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. But he said, because thou sayest, I am rich, I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. Now, this morning I want to ask you a question. How close are you to God this morning? How close would you say you are to God this morning? But now then, let's tie it in with Revelations. How close would the Lord say you are to the Lord? He said, I know. In every one, I didn't read every one of them, but if I'm not mistaken, in every one of the seven churches, he said, I know thy works. I know this, I know that. He knew where they were. He knew what they were doing. He knew how well off they were. And he said, because I am this and this and this, I'm rich and so forth, I have need of nothing. Sometimes we feel like we're doing pretty good. Sometimes we feel like we're all right. But are we? Is there anything that could be helped? Any deeper depths that we could get? Any more love that we could pull? Any more power that we need? Are we just kind of cruising along doing all right in our eyes? But the Lord said, I know you. He knows us better than we know ourselves, folks. He knows who we are, where we are. He knows our address, phone number. He knows every hair on our head. He knows what our names and addresses are. He knows all about us. He knows how good our marriages are, how good a father they are, mother they are. He knows everything. All right? The Lord spoke to me here recently, way up in the morning. Well, I say way up in the morning. It was really about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't look at the clock too much. But sometimes I see every hour of the night. Man, my writing ain't no good this morning. I wrote something on the board here a while back. I got in after I'd done it, and I looked at it, and I thought, that ain't too bad, Carl. This morning, I'm not doing too good. And I was there, and he said, draw nigh to God. So I want to discuss the subject of drawing nigh to God this morning. Let's go to John, the 4th chapter, in this place again to start. In John 4, I want to start about 7. Then comes the woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, that's nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now then, the 7th chapter of John, and the 37th verse, two scriptures. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, draw nigh. Get close. Be nigh to God. Get real close to God. And here this woman, she's coming in and he's saying, come and draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink. And the disciples had gone off and he had a personal relationship here with her. And he's telling her things and she's responding. What he did was he piqued her interest and he got her attention. And she said, well, give me this. Give me this water. Give me this that you're talking about. This sounds better than anything I've got. Anything I can get, give it to me. This morning, Jesus has water for you and I. He has bread for you and I. He has everything we need physically, spiritually and physically and emotionally and mentally, heartfelt, every way. He's got everything that we need this morning. And so consequently, she said, give me. I want that. I want a drink of that. This morning, when we come to meeting, how much did we pray for this service? How much are we interested in being here? How many times do we come to service per week? How much do we put into the services when we come to service? Do we testify on Wednesday night? Do we pray? Do we lead out in prayer? Do we do various things? Are we involved in the deal? Are we just kind of got a hangdog look and just here to fill the pew? Listen, folks, there's something better than that. The Lord wants you to be involved. He wants you to draw nigh to God. He wants you to be everything the Lord wants you to be. Praise God. Draw nigh to the Lord. This woman said, give me. This morning, are you coming with a, I'm thirsty? One time many years ago, Brother Clayton Gaines and I made a run in August to pick up some feed. As we was coming back, our water run out. And our water run out, so I told Clayton, he said, well, I'm going to be stopping, getting some gas here, some fuel down the road here a little bit. And he said, we'll get some water. I said, Clayton, I'd about give everything I got for a drink right now. The rich man, when he landed up in hell, he wanted water, didn't he? Listen, folks, here's where we can get the water. We don't want to wait any longer. Give me a drink now. Let the Lord know that I want something from you, Lord. I'm interested in you. I love you. I want to be with you. Listen, a lot of times people get saved and they do real good at the first. But if they're not careful, as time goes on, their love can somewhat wane down. They're not as spiritually sharp as they were and they're just kind of rocking along. The same thing can happen in a marriage. The same thing can happen in a lot of days. So consequently, you and I, the Lord said, draw nigh to God. He wants you to draw nigh to Him, stay close to Him, love Him, and do for Him. Praise the Lord. Do what the Lord would have you to do. Let's go to 6 and 44 of John. 6 and 44 of John. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. No man can come. Listen, folks, if we're going to get anywhere with God, He's got to help us. You'll not get to heaven by yourself. You can't get saved by yourself, sanctified by yourself. You can't get anything spiritually by yourself. I mean, you can read and so forth, but the bottom line is, as taught this morning in Sunday school, you've got to have the light and you've got to get the light to be a light. You've got to have that for us to be able to put it out. So consequently, you got to draw nigh to God. There's time we can read scriptures and go, well, I don't understand that. Look to God. Draw nigh to God. Ask God, what does this mean? Brother Austin Wilson said one time, there was three or four scriptures. He said, I'd prayed over those scriptures for years. Now this is Brother Austin. You think Brother Austin opened the Bible, looked at it, no problem. He understood everything in there. But he said, I sought the Lord. I begged Him, what does this mean? He said, finally, after a good while, and I don't know that he named years, but it was quite a while, he said, the Lord enlightened me one day and showed me what those scriptures meant. The Lord wants you and I to know what the Bible says. He wants you and I to understand the Bible, but you and I are going to have to draw nigh to get what God would have for us. He said, He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Draw him. You can't get saved on your own. Now you can seek the Lord. I'm not going to leave that part out of it. You can get to a place where you want God bad enough and he's not dealing with you. Lord, help us this morning. Devil, rebuke you. You can seek the Lord and desire him and want him. But that doesn't mean that you'll get anywhere unless he draws you. He's got to do his part. He's got to open the door. He's got to give the touch. He's got to deliver. He's got to raise the sin and deliver it, wash you in the blood, and do everything you need. So he said, no man cometh unto the Father, unto me, except the Father would send me draw him. All right, 12 and 32 of John. It says this, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And then Hebrews 7 and 19, he said, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. I'm thankful today that Christ was lifted up. I'm thankful that he went all the way. He didn't go part of the way. He went all the way. He done everything that he needed to do to make a better hope, to make a better plan, to do something that had never been done before. And that was such a glorious plan that it works even unto today. It has still got its same power, still got its same truth, still got its same light. Everything about it's the same, praise God. It has not changed in 2,000 something years. And he said, this is the way I will draw you. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And listen today, Lord help us, how close are we to God? How often are we drawn nigh to God? All right, let's go to 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14. There's been people here been in service longer than I have. I've been in 40, well, I was in 71, what about 48 years? Going to meeting and been blessed over and over and over down through the years. But there are some of you have been in here or been around it longer than I have. And been going longer than I have. And Saul said, let us go down to the Philistines by night, spoil them into the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest. Now, then said the priest, the Lord calls, empowers, leads, guides, and directs his ministers. He gives us what we need to do what he wants us to do. All right. We as a body of ministers cry out over and over and over, you need to get close to God. You need to draw nigh. You need to love him with all your heart. You need to do this and you need to do that. We cry out. And then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto God. Listen, you're going to face something and you don't know when you're going to hit it. There's a lot of times that we're going along and everything's going real smooth and we can get into a major physical affliction that can just knock us flat out, so to speak. I told Sister Patrice, we've been talking a lot about Brother Michael's condition, different things, faith and so forth. And I told her, I said, when I was bad in 87, I was the place I was so weak, I was drawn off of you all and God, or God and you all, however you want to say it. In other words, I'd done quite a bit of praying at that time, but the bottom line is, I needed the saints. I needed their calls, I needed their love, I needed their cards, I needed their presence, I needed their touches, I needed everything. But consequently, I had to pull off. And the priest says here, let us draw hither unto God. You go to meeting, you hear the preaching, and sometimes we put off, we turn down, we walk away from, we don't want what God is saying. Here, draw nigh to God. You're going to face battles and troubles and problems. You need to be close to the Lord. And yet we just say, I'm doing fine. There was a man that I'm very close to. If I name names, you'd know who I'm talking about. But he got either a kidney stone, no, not a kidney stone, but either a gallbladder or a appendicitis. I don't remember which. But he was in trouble. And he was suffering. He was suffering bad. And I went to the hospital to see him. And he said, Carl, he said, I had the world by the tail. He said, I was doing fine. Till this happened. And that shook him up. Really shook him up. And that night as we were there, the surgery was supposed to be late. 9, 10 o'clock at night. And he kept telling me, he said, I got something warm over here. Feel something warm. And he didn't know what it was. He told me later, said when they got in there, that whatever, whichever it was, had started opening up and some poison had started leaking out. Got the world by the tail. Young people, you can feel like you got the world by the tail. You can feel like that everything is just hunky-dory, so to speak. But let me tell you, the priest said, draw nigh to God. The ministers are telling you, draw nigh to God. You don't know what's around the next corner. You don't know what's going to happen next. And so consequently, you and I, we need to pull close to God. We need to love Him with all of our heart and draw nigh to God. Said, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. And let's see, let's go ahead and read. Just see, I wasn't going to do that. But James 4 here, 4 and 8 is my text. He said here that, he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned into mourning, to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now then, he said, cleanse your hands. There is situations that people have that they need a professional. They need somebody that can do what they can't do. And so consequently, they call a lawyer. They call a CPA. They call a tax man. They call a carpenter. They call a janitor. And janitors wouldn't have a job if we couldn't do what they can't do. And do and get it done for them to help them. And they call and they say, we need your help. We need your help. We need you. We need you bad. We need your help. Well, he said, cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. It's going to take getting close to God to get that. You're going to have to get, I'm talking about people come to God and needing help from God. Listen, He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has all power. He can do. There have been people that has tried to turn over new leaves, make New Year's resolutions and do all kinds of things and it wouldn't work at all. But when they come to God, God done it for them. Jesus Christ by blood washed and cleansed and raised them up and out and set their feet on a right and a holy way and set them rejoicing with God. Praise God. They could not get it any other way. There is people that so far in sin that they look at things and there's no way out. I'm going to tell you there's a better hope this morning, praise God. There's a way called Jesus Christ, the righteous and salvation, and He can bring you up and out and do what nobody else can do for you. But you're going to have to draw nigh to God. You're going to have to draw nigh to God and spend time with Him. Now, I am what I'd call an affectionate person. Been that way all of my life pretty well. And of course, I'm affectionate with my wives. But I want to tell you something, folks. You can't touch your wife if you're 15 feet away. You can't touch her if you're 10 foot away. You can't touch her if you're 5 foot away. And really, you can sometimes arm length. Some of us got a longer arm than another. You can reach out and touch her. But if you really want to have a close, and I'm going to use, don't take me wrong when I use the word intimate here, but a close, intimate relationship, just touch her, hold her, talk to her, say sweet things in her ear, whatever. You want to do that, you're going to have to get close to her. You're going to have to draw nigh to you. Listen today, the Lord is saying, draw nigh to God. The wives sometimes want the husband to comfort them and to bless them and to work with them and to help them, and the husband not doing it. And they're sitting there going, I need you. I need you. Today, the bridegroom is saying, draw nigh to me. He wants you to put in some effort into this thing. He can do anything, but he wants you to do something. He wants you and I to draw nigh. He wants you and I to put forth the effort of putting off whatever we got to do to get close to God and get the blessing that we want. One man one time had gone along and he said, I want to be blessed of God. He went down in the basement and he made the statement when he got on his knees, I ain't going to get up till I get it. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and the power come down. And blessed him, and he come up from there shouting. He run up the stairs up in the house, letting the wife know, God's blessed me. God has blessed my soul, praise God. And he come home the next evening, and he headed right back down to get it again. Praise God. You get a blessing, don't you want more? You get two blessings, isn't that better than one? Three better than two? Oh, there was one time, I just got married the first time and we was living on the farm there, and I was over in the corner praying, and Rebecca come in, and the Lord was so pouring it out on me that I didn't want anybody in the room but just me and the Lord. I really didn't want Rebecca there. I was enjoying God, see. I was wanting Him and I was a newlywed. But the bottom line was, listen folks, we want God more than anything else, praise the Lord. We want Him more than a wife, so to speak, children, bosses, jobs, money, education, power and authority. We want God more. Lord, I want you to bless me. You're going to have to draw nigh to God to get it. Get real close to Him. Snuggle up to Him. Hey, Lord, I love you. When's the last time you told God you loved Him? How many times have you told Him today, this week, this month? Lord, help us. Help us to draw nigh to God. How do you do it? By prayer. That's one way you can draw nigh to God. He loves people to talk to Him. Why did He make mankind to start with? He couldn't commune with the animals. He wanted a human being with a will that He could commune with them. Spend time with Him. What happened in the garden that day when Adam and Eve done what they done and the Lord come down? What was Adam doing? He wasn't drawing nigh to God, was he? He was going the other direction. Where art thou, Adam? Hey, Eve, where are you at? He knew what had happened. But the bottom line was, they wasn't coming to Him. Listen, folks, if we do something that we know is not just quite right, which way are we going? We going to the Lord? Or are we going the other way? Lord, help us today. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Reading and studying. But you don't understand, preacher, I'm busy. How much reading and studying are you doing? How much fasting are you doing? How much going to service are you going? How about reading good faith and victory books? My brother Nelson was showing me a book that somebody had dropped off to him when they come down for Sister Lane's funeral. And he said, you ever seen this book? I said, I don't think so. And we were talking and I said, well, there's one thing about it. I said, them old books could fire me up pretty good. They could really get me going. Really get my faith stirred up and my just loving God more than everything. What Brother Warner was doing and this one doing and that one's doing and the meetings they were having and the glory that was coming down. I was really getting blessed reading those books. So I said, that looks interesting. I'd like to read that. Meditating on the Lord. How long has it been since you just shut everything out and meditated? Well, that's for you to do, preacher. No, it's not. Everybody in here needs to meditate. They need to spend time in the Word. They need to spend time thinking about what they've read, what they've studied. That can open bigger doors, make more. Sure, the ministers have got to do it. There's times that I preach these messages over in my mind. I don't know how many times before I get up and deliver them to a group of people. But the bottom line is, you got to meditate too. And there have been times that people have had burdens and problems and so forth and look into the Lord and so forth, and the pastor get up and preach the very thing they needed the next Sunday morning. Somebody was connected with God. Somebody knew God, and God said, this is what I want. This is what they need. Oh, what about an ordinance service? You ever get a blessing out of ordinance service? What about afflictions? Affliction can cause a man or woman to draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Let's go to Isaiah 57, 3 and 6. 57, 3 through 6, I guess maybe I better say. Isaiah 57. But draw near hither, ye sons of sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of the falsehood, inflaming yourselves with the idols under every green tree, and slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them which thou hast poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed, even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Now he said, but draw near hither, ye sons. If I understand it right, what's going on here is he's fixing to pronounce judgment on these people. But I want to take it in a different angle and go to the fact that those of you that, if there's any in here that's not saved, not doing what you ought to do, if you're running the other direction, it's time to draw near hither. It's time to consider getting saved. It's time to quit putting off and pushing off. Some people said Monarch was a good monarch. I've been going there every year since 1975, but one year. And that was 1978, I think. I missed 78, but I've been in every monarch, at least part of it, every year other than that. This monarch was one of the grandest I've ever seen. The power was there. The glory was there. The blessings was there. And if people went away not saved, it wasn't God's fault. There's people that come to our services and walk away time after time, sometimes week after week. They go from the place of the holy. One day you're going to be buried. One day you're going to die. He said, draw nigh. Draw nigh hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. You make your sport, against whom do you make sport? Against whom make you wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of the transgressor and a seed of the falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols? Do you know we've got a world that is just got lots of idols? Oh, well, we don't have any little things setting up. No, but there's a lot of idols out there, folks. And there is people that spend thousands and thousands of dollars every year to their idols. One man told me, had gotten saved, and he had been a sinner for quite a few years, and he'd gotten saved, and he said, Brother Carl, he said, I wish I had back all the money I had given to the New Orleans Saints. He said, I went to them football games over and over and over. Said, I wish I had that back to give the Lord now. But he wasted it, see? Going to football games and basketball games. Listen, folks, today, there is people that's got lots and lots of idols, and the Lord wants to clean people up from their idols, and he can do it if we'll let him. He can clean them up. Oh, he said, come ye hither. Draw near hither. Let me get that right. But draw near hither, ye sons. Oh, today, let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. 10th chapter and about the 19th verse. 10 and 19 of Hebrews. Now then, you've gotten saved. You're living for the Lord. You have a good experience. The best you've ever had. And he says here, he said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now then, Jesus opened it up where you and I could come directly to him. The priest, he had to have everything just right when he entered in to that Holy of Holies. But the Lord's taking care of all that where we can go directly to the throne. We can go directly to the throne. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Let us come with full assurance of faith. Let us come knowing I'm a child of God. Let us come knowing this is for me, praise God. This is not for just anybody. This is a personal relationship with God whereby he's made a way that you and I can come to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of our life. Come to him and present things to him and talk to him and pray to him and fast to him and beg him and plead with him and cry to him. One woman that wasn't in the church and wife and I was counseling several years ago, and I said something about begging God. She looked at me and said, "You beg God?" I said, "I sure do. I get out on my knees and beg God. I need you, Lord." The quickest way to God is down low. Get on down there, praise God. Get where the Lord wants you and I to be. Get humble, get low. Get down there and say, "Lord, I love you. I want your blessings." Listen, there is nothing greater than that. When a child gets in trouble, what do? They run to the parent. They want them to touch them, hold them. They want them to kiss them and help their scrapes and their cuts and their bruises and so forth. They want that. Listen, folks, today we've got a father that wants us to come running. And bring our bangs and our bruises and all the things, our hurts. Somebody said, "Well, I ought to be able to do this." Listen, sometimes you can't do it without God. And what I mean by that, sometimes say, "Well, just forgive them and go on." That ain't always so easy, folks. Forgiveness, there is a spirit, a grace, a power, a forgiveness to help you and I to be able to forgive people. But you're going to have to get it from God. You can't get it any other way. It's his power. You get enough people gun you down and knife you and throw you out, so to speak. I'm going to tell you, that's not an easy thing to deal with. But I got news for you. I've been there, and God has helped me to forgive them and walk away from it and still got the victory years later. But it was him. It wasn't Carl Schaefer done it. I tried and I tried and I thought I had it and I couldn't get it. And finally I said, "Lord, you got the key. Have mercy on my soul." And he climbed in the van with me and sat down. It was just he and I. I don't know where the other three was. They was at home. I guess somebody was sick. I don't know. But I was going to Webb City and went up there. I said, "Lord, I tell him I got to have help." And he climbed in and he sat down and he started talking. And when he and I got through, I had the victory. And I went on to Webb City and I preached up there. And I'm saying this to the glory of God. Preached up there, and then I went to Sepulpa Road and I preached there on Sunday night. And folks, when I got in the pulpit, and I'd be so happy if you would have it and every preacher would have it, but I got in and got to preaching and it felt like a warm oil was flowing from right here all the way through my body. I could feel it. I could just feel it. And it went all the time I was preaching that night. And I guess it was anointed, but I got news for you. I was sure enjoying it. I was getting a blessing. I had to draw nigh to God though, see? There's another time that a brother and I had a problem, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You made mistakes too, child." And I looked up in heaven. I was down on my knee. I said, "Who, me? I didn't do nothing wrong. What are you talking about?" And the Lord said, "You done something wrong too. You need to go to him." Well, the first chance I got, I went to him. And he and I began to talk and began to humble down together. And we got our problem worked out. And I got up and walked away to head back to where I was going. And the glory of God come down. And I tell you, I was ready to turn around and go right and do it again. That's what you get, see, drawing nigh to God. Getting it from the hand of God. The very close. Bring your bruises. Bring your bang-ups. Bring the people that are hurting you, so to speak. Bring them to God and say, Lord, I've got to have some help. I can't do this on my own. Come boldly to the throne of grace. He said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to draw near. Have you got a heart full of faith? Full assurance of faith? Have you got that? All right. In Luke 22 and 54. Time's getting away from me. Luke 22 and 54. I want to talk about two different places here. When I get there, you know what I'm talking about. 22 and 54, Luke, they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And he goes on down, if you read this, it comes down to the bottom line. Peter done exactly what the Lord told him he was going to do, and he said, I'm ready to go with thee unto prison, even unto death, I believe he said. And Jesus said, you will deny me. You will deny me. And he said here that Peter followed afar off. Like I said, if your wife is 20 foot ahead of you and you're way behind you, you can't touch her. Followed afar off. What happened to Peter? That's what sunk Peter. He wasn't living close enough to the Lord. Sometimes we have big boasts, so to speak, in ourselves, but it said, take heed how you stand lest you fall. You and I can think, like I said, we're doing real good, but are we? What does the Lord say about that? He said there in one place, it said, Lord, help me get this scripture. Over here in Psalms, it's in 139, I think it is, the one I'm wanting. It said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my reign. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Are we going to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to search me? I want you to check me out. I want you to look me over, so to speak. If people go into a doctor, they just start confessing to him or her and telling them all about it, don't they? We need to do that with God. He's the greatest physician that's ever been. He can touch the heart. He can take away the sin. There ain't no doctor can do that. He can do what nobody else can do, folks. But we're going to have to open up and say, Lord, this is me. And I don't know what it all about it. But I want you to check me out. Search me. Draw nigh to God. Search me. Peter was falling afar off. And Peter got in trouble. All right, let's go back a little bit to the 10th chapter of Luke. And about the 38th verse, and I've been meditating on this last two or three days, said, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which had sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now Martha was a good woman, and Mary was a good woman. But the bottom line is, one of them put something above the other. Christ wasn't really interested, I don't believe, here in a big old feast. Now, I'm not saying he didn't want some bread and fish to eat. I'm not saying that. But the bottom line was, Martha had her heart set, I need to do this, this, and this. This is Jesus in my house, and I want to serve him a fine meal. Let's see, he said, how's that one scripture go? He said, I have food. No. He put that, I have food that you don't know of. No, that ain't the way it said it. Have what? I have meat that you don't know of. That's it. Jesus was on a higher plane. Martha, so to speak, was down here. Jesus was up here. And Mary was sitting at his feet wanting the best part. Are we sitting at his feet going, Lord, I want that? What do you got for me today? Now, Martha was a good woman. But Mary said, she has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Listen, you can eat a meal and how fast will it be before you're hungry again? About 4 hours? 2 hours? 3 hours? You can eat that natural food. And oh, it'd be real good. Steak and taters. I can take you to a place that can serve you mighty fine steak, folks. But after a while, it goes its way. But I got news for you. This right here can stay with you forever and ever. It said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's what's going to help us go all the way to the other side. So Mary was wanting that part that had a greater, powerfuler, more lasting effect than what Martha was doing. I'm just fixing some good old tater maters and beans, as Brother Williams used to say. But Mary said, I want the good part. Jesus, give me something righteous. Give me something holy. Give me something I can stand on. Give me something, Lord, that only you can give me. Listen, there's a lot of good cooks in this building, but there's one Jesus Christ. You can cook a lot of good food, but I got news for you. When I want something that's the best, I go to Jesus. He can give you what's best. Oh, today, what do you want? Are you like Martha? Are you cumbered about with much serving more than you should be? Or are you like Mary? Are you sitting at Jesus' feet saying, ah, this is so good. Go home and wipe. That was a very good message that Brother Michael preached this morning. Blah, blah, blah. That was a good service in Monarch or Myrtle or wherever. Oh, I enjoyed that so much. And feast on it for a week. Go back and listen to it online. Write the scriptures down and go back and check them out. Say, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, wife, I got this. Now, brother so-and-so, he preached on so-and-so, and I got so much out of it, but the Lord gave me this on top of what he gave me. Listen, folks, this is the word of life. This is the word that can do what nothing else can do. All right, let's go to Psalm 73 and 23, and let's wrap it up. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and the portion of my forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But then it said, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. It is good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me. All right, and last but not least in Hebrews 10 and 38, we'll be through. Hebrews 10 and 38. He said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to draw nigh. He had talked to the disciples and told them about things they're going to go through and going to have to forgive people and so forth. And the apostles' response was what? Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help us to draw nigh to God. Get to the place where He wants us to be. And the Lord's going to bless you and I over and over and over. All right, let's stand, have a song. Appreciate your time, attention, your prayers.